Good morning, good morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to pray. It's good to just have an encounter with the Lord, right? It's always beautiful to come back to Singapore, and I always appreciate and really esteem the time. I always appreciate the time being back, and I also appreciate all the time, the prayer we have, and the time, the 20 minutes we spend just worshiping the Lord, just praying. I always appreciate that a lot. And the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Amen. And this morning, I would like to share with you a couple of thoughts about the hand of God. Have you ever heard the phrase or the expression, the hand of the Lord? There is a hand of the Lord, and the Bible reveals to us what the hand of the Lord is. And I would like to speak to you this morning about this here, the hand of the Lord. Amen. I didn't do that image. AI did it. ChatGPT did it. I told ChatGPT, show me a hand, the hand of the Lord, covered with the glory of God. And then it spit that out. Amen. So it's good. Oh, man. So it saved me hours. Praise the Lord. But that's actually our topic, the hand of the Lord. And we are going to start in the book of Ezekiel. And let's go to chapter 40. And we read the first verse. Okay. In the 25th year, are we living in the year 2025? Oh, amen. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year is still young, right? It's March, only the third month. On the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was struck down, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me to the city. Hallelujah. I think the year 2025 is a good year for the hand of the Lord being upon you. And I want you to experience more and more of the hand of God on your life. You know, the hand of God is just simply God's power. It's his glory. Hallelujah. And we can all have even more of his glory on our lives. So I want to show you something from the scriptures. And it has to do with the story of Joseph and Benjamin. I think you know the story. Joseph and his younger brother Benjamin. Joseph, the other brothers, sold him, and he is in Egypt, and now he became a very powerful man in Egypt. Then he reunites with his brothers, and there's a wonderful story about how Benjamin had five times more than the other brothers, and just simply, the Benjamin story is a significant story to understand the new covenant of grace. Because the 12 sons basically represent 12 tribes of Israel. The two sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, are a picture of God's grace. Because the other 10 sons are a picture of the law of Moses. But from Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin came. And Joseph is a type of Jesus. That's what he is. Because Pharaoh gave him the name Savior of the world. He gave him an Egyptian name. It was Safenat-Paneach. And that actually means Savior of the world. So Joseph is a great type of Christ in the Old Testament. But Benjamin is a type in the Old Testament of the believer in Christ. Because his name, Benjamin, means son of the right hand. Ben in Hebrew stands for son, and Yamin stands for right hand. So that's the meaning of Benjamin's name, son of the right hand. And it is actually a picture of us and of our righteousness that came through Jesus Christ. We are also Benjamins, so to speak. We are sons of righteousness, sons of the right hand of God. So it is a beautiful picture, the two brothers, Joseph representing Christ, Benjamin, the youngest, representing us as believers. And as Joseph blessed Benjamin much more than the other brothers, Christ will bless the church much more. Amen. So Benjamin, he received 5 times more than all the others. And the Bible records that. The Bible records that story. And that's where we go to Genesis 43 and verse 34. Genesis 43, verse 34. There it is. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table. That's the others. But Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much. Hallelujah. Can you see that? 5 times as much as any of theirs. And they drank and they were merry with him. They had a good time. They had a party going on. Amen. So his portion, Benjamin's portion, the portion of the son of the right hand, a type of the new covenant believer today, a type of us all in the body of Christ, in the church, he got 5 times more. So we know that this story is a beautiful story about God's grace. It's a foreshadow what will take place under Christ, what will take place under the new covenant of grace. 5 times more blessings. And you know the number 5 stands for grace. And it's 5 times as much. Now in the Hebrew, and you know this wasn't written in Chinese, this wasn't written in English, Bible was not written in Chinese. Amen. It was written in the Hebrew language, correct? So in the Hebrew language, this phrase, look at this phrase, 5 times as much. Or let me put it very simple, 5 times more. That's a phrase in the Hebrew. And I would like to reveal to you what in the Hebrew, what it means. Because the Hebrew uses for the word five, you know, you either can just put the number like five, or you can actually spell it out, F-I-V-E, five, right? Write it out or just use a number. Here in the Hebrew, it's written out. And the Hebrew word for five is chamesh, chamesh. So let's say all together, chamesh, 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 chamesh. Amen, amen. So chamesh means five, okay? Boys, never forget, chamesh means five. Hamas? Yeah, that means terror in Hebrew. But times as much, what word is used in the Hebrew for much more? Can you follow me? I try to make it very easy and very simple. Usually you would use, as it is here in English, like the word, the Hebrew word for more. Or you would use the Hebrew word times as much. You would use the word time. You would use the word much. But none of these words were used. Do you know which Hebrew word was used for the phrase times as much, much more? It is the word yad. Y-A-D. Chamesh yad. That's the phrase in the Hebrew, and you can check it. Chamesh yad. And yad in the Hebrew means hand. Ben Yamin, coming from yad, hand. So actually in the Hebrew, this reads, portion were taken to them from Joseph's table, but Benjamin's portion was chamesh yad. He had 5 times more the hand of God on his table. Ha! That's nice. Benjamin had more of the hand of God over his life than the others. You can have more of God's hand over your life than others. He had 5 times chamesh yad. He had the hand of God 5 times more. That's a big thing. Because the hand of God is something real. I'm telling you, the hand of God is real. God's hand is real. Because the arm of God is real. Did you know that God has an arm, God has a hand, and God has a finger? And this is real. And it's something very powerful. And I'm going to show you this morning how you can have more of God's hand in your life. Amen. It's a very powerful revelation the Lord gave me in the beginning of the year. And I think it's no coincidence that He gave this to me in the 25th year. God has humor, right? In the 25th year. That's how we began. So we're still in the year 2025. So this is very powerful if you realize that the hand of the Lord can be over you on your life even more than ever before. Because it is His Chameshiyot. If you will. I mean, you know, many times churches have their own theme of the year. Sometimes, you know, like not every church has a theme of the year. We have one. But I believe for us in Switzerland, it's the year of Chameshiyot. It's the year of the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. But I believe there is a general revelation in it for everyone, okay? For everyone. But I had the impression that I should speak about, to my church, about the hand of the Lord and the Chameshiyot, and it has not left me. So wherever I go this year, and I'm traveling quite much, wherever I go this year, I speak on that hand of the Lord. I speak on the Chameshiyot. Because I believe we prosper through prophetic teaching. Amen? We prosper through the Word of God, correct? And we also prosper through prophetic teaching. And so let's dig into this even deeper so that you can understand how the hand of the Lord can be more over your life and on your life than ever before. And it's a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. So we know God has an arm. God has a hand. God has a finger. Did you know that the arm of God? What is the arm of God? You know, the hand of God is called God's power, is God's glory. What is the arm of God? It's very interesting that in Isaiah 53, you remember how Isaiah 53, the healing chapter, how it starts? Isaiah 53, who has believed, amen, what he has heard from us, what was said, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Remember, that's how Isaiah 53 starts. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of God been revealed? And then the next verse is, for he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Him. Who is this? It's Jesus. Right? Isaiah 53 portrays you, shows you Jesus and his future work on the cross, his redemptive work. So the arm of the Lord is the Lord. The arm of the Lord is Jesus. Because he begins with, whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up. That's the next verse. So the arm of the Lord is Yeshua. It's Jesus himself. And you know, the finger of God. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come to you. That's what Jesus said about the finger of God. The finger of God is something that you don't find too often in the Bible. But Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God. That's great, huh? It doesn't even need the whole hand. A finger is enough to cast out demons. So again, it's the power of God. a couple of weeks ago, I was in Sri Lanka. I was in Sri Lanka, and I preached there at the conference. And it was a good conference, 300-400 people. We had different speakers. And in the evening, we had to pray for every single one. So like us speakers, we had to pray for every single one. That was for us mandatory, you know, as being the main speakers. That's what the organizer wanted, pray for every single one. So okay, we did. So we prayed for like 2 hours for everyone, you know. And at the end, so we had some lines. There was another speaker that was me and another speaker. So we had like three lines and like people could gather wherever they wanted and we laid hands on them. So at the end, like after 2 hours, 90 minutes or 2 hours, they brought up a lady to me and they had to held up her arms. So one on the left, one on the right. And she was like coming like this. She's like coming like this, you know. She was like in a trance. And I was asking, and I had my interpreter next to me. It was one of the associate pastors, a very nice guy. He was next to me, and he helped me because in Sri Lanka, they speak Sinhalese and Tamil, you know. So, and many of them cannot speak English. So the guy had to interpret me. So he was one of the associate pastors. So when they ask about for what we pray for, he had to, you know, interpret into English for me. So very good guy. So they bring up this lady at the very end. She's like in trance, you know. And I'm looking at my translator and I said, what's wrong with her? And he looked at me and he said, I know her. She has a demon. She has a demon. And I said, okay. So the next thing he said, you have to cast out the demon. You have to cast out. So he knew her and he said, she couldn't talk. And the people, the ladies that helped her, you know, carrying her up, they didn't even tell what's wrong. He knew her. He said, you got to cast out the demon. We have long time with problem with that woman. And so I remember that was in the evening, but I remember my morning session. I had a session in the morning, and I had a session in the evening, and then we had to do prayer. So I remember in the morning, I was talking about the finger of God and how Jesus told the church that through the finger of God, demons are cast out. And then what that means, it means the kingdom of God has come to you. So I remember I was preaching on this. So I said, oh, I'm happy I was preaching on this. Now I know what to do. So I just took my finger. No, you don't have a demon, you know. So no, I don't need anyone. I just took my finger and I touched her forehead. Not like poof. So I just touched her very smoothly. I said, in the name of Jesus, out. Poof. And she fell on the floor. She's lying there. She's lying there and didn't move at all. She's lying there for the next 10 minutes. I thought I killed her. I thought we need to rush her to the ER. But it was at the end of the service, so I left, and I asked my interpreter, check on her, you need to tell me later on what happened, okay? So he sent me actually a voicemail, and let me see if I can find it. Let me check. You have a moment? Let me check this guy. If I can't find him in a moment, I'll just tell you what he said. I asked him, get back to me and let me know what happened. So I didn't hear for a week because that lady actually, she was from a very remote part in India. She was from a very remote part. Oh, I think I have it here. Just one second. So from a very remote, because not India, Sri Lanka. So the thing is, let me check.
Good morning, Pastor Eric. Blessings from Sri Lanka. Pastor, I was told that lady, she's been delivered, Pastor. His brother told me that she's perfectly all right now. Praise the Lord, all glory and honor to God, Lord Almighty. Blessings, Pastor.
Hallelujah. So it took him a week because she was from a very remote part of the island. Sri Lanka is an island. And they travel like 3 days until they are back home. So, you know, very remote part. So it took him about a week because they had to travel back. They had to get back there at their home. So obviously he knew them and he was checking on them. It took him a week and that was a week later. That's his report back. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I was happy that morning. I was preaching on the finger of God. Of course, you would always, you know what to do with to cast out the demon. You command them to leave. You command them to go in the name of Jesus, you know. And I did that, of course. But praise the Lord. It's a beautiful testimony how the finger of God was at work. And Jesus said it. It will drive out demons. So we have the hand of God. We have the power of God. We have the arm of God. We have the finger of God. And you can have the hand of God upon your life much more this year. So I want to show you how you will have more of the Chamesh Yad upon you this year. Because the Hamashiach, the hand of God, it does mighty things. It does mighty things. Did you know that the hand of God is not too short to help you and to bless you? You remember Moses when he said, God, we don't have food for all these people in the desert. We don't have meat. Where should all the meat coming from? We don't have enough butchery here. You know what God said? He answered him, Numbers. You can pull it up, Numbers 11, 23. The Lord said to Moses, Numbers 11, 23. The Lord's answer to Moses was, is the Lord's arm too short? Now, that's the NIV, but in the ESV, because here the word arm is yad again. It actually should be translated hand. So, correct way you read it, is the Lord's hand too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. So then he provided for them meat and food, right, while they're in the desert. So Moses is like, he's like freaking out. We don't have enough. We don't have enough meat and food and to feed all these people. And the Lord's answer is my hand too short? Is my hand too short? Did you know that God's hand is never too short? God's hand is never too short on your life. You see, you need the Chamesh Yad. Now you know what the Chamesh Yad is. You need five times more of his hand. You need the Chamesh Yad for your prosperity. Because why is he saying this? What does this verse precisely mean? He is talking about provision. He has to provide for so many people in the desert. This is a verse about provision. So if you lack provision, you have to know that the Lord's hand is never too short. It will always meet you at the right time. So this is a verse about provision. It is a beautiful verse where God just affirms that his hand is never too short. Here's another one in Ecclesiastes. Just listen to this. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? That's what Ecclesiastes 2 says. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. After you have labored, celebrate with your family. Have a nice meal. Have like dinner with your kids, your family. Enjoy life. After a hard working day, enjoy life. Have dinner with your family. Eat, drink, be merry. And what does he say? He says, I saw that this is also from the hand of God. So you see, your prosperity and your provision depends on the hand of God upon your life. It depends. Because most of the time we think it is all the labor of my hand that gave me this wealth. No, 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 no. It is God's hand that gave you blessings and prosperity and gave you, hallelujah, all that you have. Don't be proud and say, oh, it was all my hard work. Don't be proud. Oh, it was all my hands. I working 18 hours a day. I am the one that puts the hands. Yes, you should work. Amen. And you should use your hand. But put everything into the right perspective and order. Your hand can only work because the hand of God is over you. Hallelujah. So it's very, very important to put the right order. Don't say, it was my hard work that got me here. No, it was the hand of the Lord over your life that got you there. Amen. Just imagine how many times you have to work with your hands. But don't look at your hands. See the Lord's hand upon your hand. How many surgeons have to operate, you know, very precisely with their hands on a machine and do like minimal invasive operation. They're using their hands. Believe that the Lord's hand is over you. It is so important to give him the glory and to put him first in everything. Also, there's another beautiful thing. Do you know what happens when the right kind of music is played? The hand of the Lord will come over the congregation. 2 Kings 3:15. Look at this. 2 Kings 3:15. But now bring me a musician. And when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon the prophet. When you have the right type of musicians, the hand of the Lord will come over the congregation. It will come over the people. It will come over the person. It will come over the prophet, and he could prophesy. So many times the prophets needed the musicians. David needed the musician, you know. And he actually himself a musician, you know. When King Saul was tormented by evil spirits, he calling for musicians to calm him down. The hand of the Lord is administered through music. Isn't it beautiful that through music, the hand of the Lord is revealed and manifested? Amen. It was easy to pray this morning because we had some good musicians here. The hand of the Lord came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was beautiful. That's why I love to be back here, because you have great worship and you have very powerful moments of prayers. Very powerful, because the hand of the Lord comes upon us once we combine and bring these two things together, music and prayer and prophecy. So the prophet here could prophesy because the musician ministered and ushered the hand of the Lord upon him. So how can more of God's hand be upon you than on others? There is a way, and the Bible describes us how even more of God's hand can be upon you than on others. There is a very clear way, and it is only one way. Amen. So let's look at this. James 4 and verse 6. James 4 and verse 6. He's saying, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Is this true? Grace is meant for humble people. Grace is never for proud people. Amen. Proud people, they want to stick to the old. They want to stick to the old covenant. They want to keep the law. Proud people tell you, I need the law. But humble people tell you, I need grace. So grace comes for the humble. And the proud is opposed. There is no grace for the proud. And also pride is, like I already shared, oh, my hand worked all this wealth. It was my hard labor. That's pride. That's pride. No. God's hand is much more important than yours. Thank God for your hand. Thank God you're able to work. But put the order right. His is first. His kingdom comes first. Seek first the kingdom of God. So grace is for the humble. And you know, look at this word here. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In the Greek, actually here, it is used the word more grace. More grace. See? But he gives more grace. In the Greek, the word, this is Greek, not Hebrew. Okay, Old Testament was Hebrew. This is New Testament. This is Greek language. The word more, do you know what the word more is in the Greek? It's the word mega. And in the Greek, it's megas. So actually he's saying he gives mega grace. He gives mega grace to whom? To the humble. The humble person will have, and in the Greek, more is mega. He will have mega grace. You will have mega grace if you understand humility. You will have mega grace. Say with me, mega. Not omega. Don't think Swiss watches. Not omega. Mega. Mega. This is a saying in Europe. You know, when people say, oh man, it was mega. This concert was mega. This movie was mega. You know, they mean it was great. It was superb. It was amazing. So the humble will have mega grace. So let's see what happens when you humble yourself. Because something happens when you humble yourself. When you humble yourself, you get more grace. And under what do you humble yourself? Under what is the question? Now, I know there are different points we could talk about, but it's one specific I want to share with you. Let's go to 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility. Do you know that you can dress yourself with humility? You can clothe yourself with humility? Did you have to clothe this morning? Yes. If not, you would sit here naked. right? So we had to put on clothes, right, this morning. You can put on humility. Humility is put on, like you put on clothes. I put on my shirt, I put on my shoes, my socks. I clothe myself this morning. And the same is with humility. You can put it on. And then he says, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's the same verse like in James, correct? That's exactly the same. Peter, James, saying the same. But now Peter adds something that is even more important. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, and here is the question, under what? Under the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. So that at the proper time, he may exalt you. Oh, come on. It's not just humbling. It's not just we humble ourselves to anything. No, you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And that produces exaltation. How does more of the hand of God come to your life? Through humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. That's so powerful. Under, being under the hand of God means you really be under. I want to be under the hand of God. I want to be under the hand of God. Just imagine me, I want to be under this piano. I want to be under this piano. What do I have to do? Yeah, I have to crawl under this piano, you see. Now I'm under the piano. See, kids? I'm under the piano now. I want to be under the mighty hand of God. I want to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. So I have to be under his hand. I have to crawl under. And it's a good thing to submit yourself. How does he say? You younger, submit to the elder. This is equal to submitting under the hand of God. Submit to your elders. Hallelujah. Submit to your church. Submit to your pastor. And you are submitting under the hand of God. It's a beautiful principle, and you will be exalted. Put aside all the pride. Put aside, I don't need prayer. Put aside, I don't need laying on of hands. Put aside, I don't need that. No, you all need that. You need it. Amen. Pastor was praying for my son this morning. He needs it. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. So humbling yourselves, having a humble heart and staying humble is the way how we are under the mighty hand of God. And once we are under the hand of God, great things will happen. His hand is not too short. His power will constantly flow in your life. You will constantly move in the supernatural. If the hand of God is over you. Hallelujah. And you know what? Even us as a church, even we as a church, we can have the hand of God over us as a church. Look at this. Acts 11:21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And the great number who believed turned to the Lord. That's a promise for the church. God wants his hand upon the church. God wants his mighty arm and hand and fingers in the church. And that is the church of Acts. And when the hand of the Lord was with them, shows us it is God's will that his hand is in the church, moving in the church, and manifesting in the church. Hallelujah. And the beautiful result is people will get saved. People will get saved. That's one of the many results of what happens when the hand of God is upon a church. Hallelujah. So ladies and gentlemen, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that he cannot hear. The Lord's hand is here to save, to empower, to prosper, to usher in the Spirit, to have the supernatural in your life. His hand is not shortened. He can always help and save. And when he helps and when he saves, it has to do with his hand. So in humbling yourself, you receive even more. You receive 5 times more. Chamesh Yad. Humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God. So congregation, let's stand up. And just let me pray a prayer for you. Can we have like some music again? I wanna lead you into a prayer where we just all humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And I believe powerful things will happen. Amen. But touch Him now with your heart. Touch God with your heart. Hallelujah. Touching Him with your heart is encountering Him. Because there's a sweet spirit here. A sweet spirit is in this place. Hallelujah. And the glory of God is here right now. Hallelujah. And I sense the anointing in my hands right now. So if you're here this morning and it touched you, you said, I need that. I need the hand of God in my life. I want you to come forward and I will pray for you personally. Only if you want to. Only if you want to. Because there's a sweet anointing in this place. Only if you want, come and I will pray for you personally. If you say, I want this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. I saw myself laying on you. I saw myself, doctor, laying my hands on you. Because you know how powerful hands are, right? You know that, how powerful. Hallelujah. Oh, my mama.